It was a manhunt that started in 1978 when a package containing a bomb was found at a university parking lot in Chicago. The mysterious sender, who became known as the Unabomber, would strike 15 more times over a span of nearly 18 years. His explosives were placed at universities, on an airplane, at private homes. They would leave 3 dead and 16 injured in a bizarre protest against people involved in the spread of technology. Finally arrested in 1996, the Unabomber turned out to be 53-year-old Ted Kaczynski, a brilliant mathematician and troubled loner.
Since he quit his job at University of California at Berkeley, in the late 1960s, he had been living in an isolated cabin along the Continental Divide in Montana.
The Unabomber's brother, David Kaczynski.
At one point, he had written to me with some pride that he had lived for a whole year, kept his accounts, and managed to survive on just 12 cents a day. He had no running water, no electricity, obviously no telephone. Most of our communication was through the mail.
This is the remarkable story of how David Kaczynski, a thoughtful and sensitive social worker, came to realize his eccentric brother was a serial murderer. How David made the anguished decision to turn his brother in, quite possibly leading to a death sentence, and why he now works to abolish the death penalty and improve our system of justice.
This cold-blooded murder is the latest deadly development in a series of bombings codenamed Unabomb. The United States Attorney's Office, together with all of law enforcement, is committed to apprehending and bringing this criminal to justice.
December 1994, Faith Hochberg, a U.S. attorney in New Jersey, following the murder by package bomb of an advertising executive whose firm did PR work related to an Exxon oil spill. It was the second time the Unabomber had killed. During the 90s, David Kaczynski received correspondence from his brother in Montana that seemed increasingly extreme, fanatical, and bizarre.
My wife Linda had said to me, "David, I think your brother's sick." You know, I guess I didn't have her objectivity. My first reaction was, well, you know, this is the way Ted is. This is the way he thinks. And she said, "David, read this letter. You know, people who are healthy do not think this way." And it was at that point that we took some of his letters to a psychiatrist and began to explore whether there was anything we could do to try to find out what was wrong, find out if we could help him intervene for his benefit in some way.
Although Ted Kaczynski had largely cut himself off from his family, David still nurtured an affection for the clever older brother he had looked up to as a kid in Chicago.
You know, there was 7.5 years difference between us, but kind of as I was moving into adolescence and Ted into young adulthood, I think there was quite a bond. We both loved the outdoors. I felt it was kind of almost a privilege to share some of that with him because he was older and more mature and more intelligent. I've often felt that on some deep level there is a part of Ted in me. I hope it's the good part.
He was very quiet. He was well-spoken. He's the only one that's ever missed me at the library. He read stuff that I certainly couldn't read because he wanted it in the original languages. And he was, I don't know, quite a nice man.
Bev Coleman, a librarian in Lincoln, Montana, near the 10 feet by 12 feet cabin where Ted Kaczynski lived a solitary life in nature, read widely, wrote his angry statements about the harmful consequences of technology and where he manufactured bombs. One of the victims was Gary Wright, co-owner of a computer store in Salt Lake City, Utah, who was injured by the Unabomber in 1987.
I had been out working early in the morning, and I was returning back to my office building about 10:30 that morning. And as I drove into the parking lot, I noticed what looked to appear to be just some scrap wood from a construction project. So it kind of looked somewhat like 2 2x4s that were nailed together with nails sticking out of it. So I drove into the parking lot. I thought, well, I'd better just go move that. I exited the car, and as I went over to pick this up, something just really wrong happened within a short time. And I don't actually remember the device going off, but within a very short time, I was about 20 feet from where the device was, and I was just standing there. Things went into slow motion. I mean, you see it on television a lot, and it's not quite accurate the way that it looks on television. But I watched the wires from the telephone and the electrical into the building. They were moving in slow motion in kind of a sine wave pattern, and there was debris just kind of raining down and spiraling like confetti, if you will. And the first thought was that I'd been shot. I really thought that someone had come around the corner and shot me with a shotgun or something. I don't know why that was the first thought, but it was. And, my mind started to race a little bit about, I may not make it. I might not live through this. I mean, they were just real clear thoughts.